KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3. You're listening to Creative Mindset with Robert Sevilla. So I think I'll take this time. My guests aren't, they're not here at the moment. They're not late because we actually started our way over here together. But I'll use this time to just kind of re-center what Creative Mindset is, at least what it's kind of evolved into. So originally this was the Art Hour, and I am a full-time artist, and I thought, you know what I believe the art community needs is just something, something to keep them fresh, something to keep them inspired, something that they can learn from, something new. At least that's some of the things that I have issues with through a creative career, just trying to find that inspiration, how to keep things new. And some of the ways I do it is, like today's guests, we have the Seven Sisters over from Coeur d'Alene. And I have found more internal blocks through the work that these ladies do than I have on anything else. I mean, a lot of times it's on my own journey where I'm like, well, it looks like I got some problems with my dad, or looks like I have some issue with a family member, or so on. But it really is nice when you can isolate some of these blocks and then really get to see where they stem from, where they start. I mean, in the end, I think it always comes back to you, to yourself and what you're allowing in. But you can find people that help you clean that up, help you kind of clear that out. And that's who is coming in today. So I'm going to let them describe what they do when they come in. I don't know if you can hear a voice. I think someone's singing in the next room in the podcasting room. But I'm going to take another just a little quick break as the ladies roll in, because they should be here any minute. We'll be right back.
The low rider is a little higher.
And we're back. I'm going to turn on these across. And okay, you want to announce? I'm going to point to you, Michelle, right?
Yes.
All right, Michelle. So I'll do another little quick intro. Today's guests are the Seven Sisters. Is the Seven Sisters Retreat?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
From Coeur d'Alene. And we are going to learn about them as I ask questions, because I don't know, there's actually seven of you? No.
That's just the name. Yeah.
I actually like it.
I know. It's Pleiades. It's the Seven Sisters constellation, Pleiades.
I don't know enough about
it. It's a play on Pleiades. Yeah.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Okay. And then each one, which I do understand, you guys kind of all have, you bring something to, because basically it's the group. It's a group. What would you say the group is? Is it a group of?
I would say we're a group of like-minded individuals that we're all practitioners of a different method, really. Mm-hmm. Seven Sisters was born out of the desire to just really spread love in the community and to collaborate with other women and men and to bring people together in a way where we can talk about different healing modalities, really, and create a kind of a community sanctuary for people to come and explore the different modalities.
Yeah, absolutely.
I definitely think it's needed. So I didn't tell you when we met just a short time ago, Michelle, that I grew up in a hair salon.
You did?
Yeah. So that was like my mother was a, she was, the earliest one I remember was down in like Culver City, and she just worked in a chair, and then she ended up managing that. And then she became a cosmetology teacher. And then so I used to go to there after school and hang out. And I'd get, awesome. Like, everybody needed their shampoos. Yeah. I'd get my hair shampooed like two or three times and manicures. And so I was just taken care of like the whole time. So
that's amazing.
It's pretty fun. Then she had when I went to high school, Claremont High School, she had a hair salon there. And then I would go there before. There she is. Our final guest just parking the car. and I just learned a lot. I learned a lot, even more about how women come together and how there's kind of a place. And I think that as I look back into that, what it was, is that hair salon environment is like a little healing center in
itself.
It
really is. Yes.
I'm going to talk you in there. Go ahead, put those headphones on. I'm going to turn your mic on. That's fine. And then, so as we talk in it, it'll be like a hand distance. So, yeah. So when I look over to you, I just have to kind of turn my head to speak towards you. So don't forget to do that.
Okay.
And then also you'll be able to hear yourself on the headphones. Okay. You'll hear your voice starting to fade away if you... So anyway. Okay, so back to the story. So how I feel a little connected to like the Seven Sisters idea and how it was born. Because I think it is an extension. I thought it was cool how you were saying that I just left a salon to get into a stepping in a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm. And
I was kind of asking you what that was, or what that...
to be with like-minded women that share the same passion and love for one another.
And when you say that, I mean, I definitely feel like when I didn't tell you I grew up in a hair salon.
Oh, you did not tell me that.
Yeah. So when you were talking about like the feminine vibe, you were saying it was around me. I'm used to people going, you're like a dude, but you kind of talk like a girl.
You got a good balance. Yeah.
Those are the best kind of men.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm like, well, I was brought up by a bunch of women. Yes. Yeah,
that's the best.
I'm not going to shake that one off. Yeah. I think it is. I'm very, very I feel lucky. Very lucky that I had that. But what I was saying were just some of the things, and I want to explain this because I think some people find that connection in a hair salon or in some sort of like maybe even a massage. It's not the word massage parlor, but what it is.
Like a spa.
Like a spa. But there's like a sense of like when someone touches you with the right intention, like mm-hmm. like even a doctor when he's just like probing you, like, okay, let's check your, you know, abdomen. They give you a little touch. There's mm-hmm. like this feeling that you...
An exchange.
Yeah, you kind of mm-hmm. fall into like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, I'm in mm-hmm. the right hands. Mm-hmm. But there's the same type of thing that you feel, I think, in like... in a salon, in like a physical therapy, and almost all of mm-hmm. the kind of healers, I'll say.
Yeah.
I was going to say when you're speaking of this, I'm thinking, well, it seems to me like the common denominator is all of those people are healers in their own way, and when you do put intention behind touch or whatever the modality, mm-hmm. when you put love. Or if it's compassion or healing, whatever it is, we're all powerful healers as our birthright. So I think that's what is coming through. That's what you feel.
Yeah. And, you know, mm-hmm. I will bring up a lot of stuff. I'll say stuff because I think I'm connecting with those people that aren't fully into. Like, I think the people that come to you, either they already know all about like what they're going to get into. And I think probably a very few people are, I wonder why I'm here. Like, I kind of just found my way here. But I think if there was a goal to the show or for me is to introduce someone from the other side.
Yes. Normalize the woo-woo.
Yeah.
And so some of the words are the thing. So like the woo-woo.
The woo-woo.
So the woo-woo is almost like kind of a negative thing. Like I remember the first time I ever did yoga.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I realized... that I like the woo-woo.
I love the woo-woo.
I'm like, give me the most woo-woo-y yoga that they have here. Like I would say, I'm like, give me the candles and sandals like version. Like I want like the mm-hmm. weirdest, like the most different experience that I can get. And it totally pays off because it takes me out of where I am. And if I'm at all, and this is my own kind of self-discipline, if I'm at all interested in something, I just try to like get all in. And I think I learned that from school. Like you're in a classroom to learn, not fight the teacher of what they're trying to teach you. Right. Like if I'm there, I'm going to learn everything they have to say, even if I don't agree with it. And then I'll form my opinion afterward, after I get an A in it, where I can, mm-hmm. I can say that, yeah, I aced your class, but I disagree with you.
Right. Which I is love the, that
the
idea.
Right way, right?
Like staying curious, staying open to the process, mm-hmm. maybe learning something along the way, because there's always something to learn.
Try to learn the whole message and then decide for yourself. I found we were talking before, so a little bit back. So we were going around. I should finish that, huh? Mm.
That's fine. So, introduction.
Yeah. We're going to go to introduction. So we talked to Michelle. Michelle, and that all three of you work at Seven Sisters Retreat.
Seven Sisters.
Is this just
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Yep. It's just called Seven Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And then we all have our individual kind of businesses and practices as well
mm-hmm. inside of Seven Sisters.
Okay, we're going to... So did you feel like you explained where you came from, who you were?
Oh, no. So no. I came from the wine industry, actually, before.
The wine industry.
Yeah, before I started this. And I got Reiki certified back in 2015 and never really... I practiced with family and friends and did a little bit of life coaching while I was in the Seattle area. But I really felt like my purpose is that touch. Mm-hmm. And I noticed when I worked on people that their whole... demeanor would change from the time they came in to the time I would, you know, they would leave. So that kind of piqued my interest. Fast forward.
They probably gave you feedback too,
yes,
right?
Yes. And so then fast forward to living now in Coeur d'Alene, I decided I wanted to become an esthetician. Mm-hmm. And part of that process, I found myself gravitating right back to Reiki and right back to healing. And I'd work on the girls in class if they had a headache or, you know, that kind of a thing. And I forgot how powerful our energy is when we have that exchange from human being to human being, because we are energy. We're all energy. Mm-hmm. And once I graduated and found a cute spot to start working in, I found that I wasn't able to really use that modality in the facials and the things that I wanted to do. And then when I found Seven Sisters, Holly and Amy, I was like, they just brought me in with open arms. And I can't tell you, when you find what speaks to your soul, you just gravitate to it, right?
Yeah.
And I feel home. I feel like I'm home. So I'm still doing all of the esthetician stuff, but I'm able to really adapt different modalities to that. And part of that is my energy clearing that I do for homes, and we can get into that later. But, you know, that's just kind of my background and how I found where I'm at now.
Awesome. I'll mm-hmm. ask you about the home clearing, mm-hmm. or if I don't, bring it up and we'll go through it. Okay, which leads us, you said, Michelle, you said finding your tribe
yes.
type thing is cool. And then that's how I got a hold of you guys today, is that my good friend Patty told me, she kind of pulled me aside where I was working on a totem, that totem. And she's like, I found my tribe. She's like, I've been wanting to do yoga, but I hadn't found the right people. And she found you. And then so she told me about the Seven Sisters. I'm like, they've been on my radar for a year or so. So then that's how I reached out to you, because I heard your yoga class is fantastic.
Oh, thank you. That's amazing. It's amazing to hear. I'm Amy, and I own a Line Yoga Studio in Coeur d'Alene. I've been teaching, I've been doing yoga since I was 17, so a really long time. And I've been teaching since 2002 or 3, so a long time as well. I've started a Line Yoga Studio just before the pandemic, like 2019, I believe, in a garage behind my house. And I was there for 2 years, and then I was in another location for 2 years, and then the space opened up at the Seven Sisters house, which is our little love shack downtown Coeur d'Alene. And Holly, we met there, and she's like, I just want you to take a look at this space, you know, this could be where you move a line. And we sat there on the floor, and I said yes. And so July 1st was my first class at 601 Lakeside. So we've been doing Seven Sisters there off and on for what, Holly?
5 years.
5 years. Yeah. And I just started operating a Line Yoga Studio out of there on July 1st. And my students, many of them came over with me, and some of them were nervous. They were like, but we love this space. And this is the sacred space. And, you know, you're like, trust me, it's going to be okay.
Oh,
and
I totally get it.
Yeah. Yes. And then people walk in there, and I've had a couple of students say to me, can I live here? And I've had a couple ask me, do you live here? Like, what, this place is magic. What is this?
Yeah, it's got a great little feel.
Doesn't
it?
I mean,
and
yeah,
it smells
you know,
good.
And it smells good. Oh, yeah.
Something you notice immediately.
Incense, sage, yeah. Palo Santo, all the things. Sage. So yeah, I've been teaching. I fell in love with yoga, like I said, when I was 17. I've always been a searcher and a seeker just by nature from the time I was really little. And my mom always tells the story, when I was a little girl, she's like, you used to crawl up in people's laps and just like put your hand on their face. Like, you just knew if somebody needed a little love or a little tenderness. And when I found yoga, I really feel like it was the start of just this great, I guess, path of undoing, really. It's like we say that we become something, but really in yoga, we talk about unbecoming. You know, there's a famous quote, like, unbecoming everything you thought you were in order to become that which you really are. And yoga is that for me. And I love it. I just feel high on life that I get to do what I love to do with people that I love. And
what type of yoga was it that you were introduced at 17?
So vinyasa. I did a lot of vinyasa, which is flow. They also call it flow. Mm-hmm. But I did everything. I did Bikram. I did Iyengar. I did Ashtanga. I did hot yoga. I mean, those are, you know, Bikram is hot yoga, but power yoga, you know, all the things. Mm-hmm. And then I got certified to teach vinyasa way back when. I actually followed Shiva Ray a lot. And if you know anything about the yoga community, she's a powerful figure. And then I would say, I don't know, maybe 7 or so years ago, I found Anusara Yoga and my teacher in Coeur d'Alene. And so lucky that I have this master teacher in Coeur d'Alene, and did my 500 hour with her. And so I teach Anusara, I teach flow, I teach yin, I teach restorative, I do sound healing. I started doing sound bowls about 5 years ago. So, but I've done everything: prenatal, postnatal, kids yoga. I'm a certified doula.
She's got the credentials.
Just wear all the hats. But yoga is, Pilates. I teach Pilates as well. But yoga is my heart. I mean, it really broke me open in a way that, I guess I didn't know I needed, but I always searched for, if that makes sense. It's like finding that thing that you can sink your teeth into for the rest of your life. And it just continues to astound me.
Something that has that depth.
Yeah.
That you don't learn it all in a year or two.
And for me, it's the philosophy. It's the spirituality. It's the poetry. It's the inspiration behind the practice. It's the physical for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's not just about, you know, it's not a workout per se. I don't look at it that way, you know, and it's a spiritual workout. It's a philosophical, it's a heart and soul and
celebrating being in your body.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And Anusara Yoga is very cool because we use the alignment and inspirational themes and whatnot. It's like fine tuning your body into this antenna that can like receive the frequency of like, you know, grace and love.
You know, I was thinking like, what would we all talk about when we all got here? I think what it's going to be, we still have to introduce you, Holly, but I think about how this might, because you guys have all these different modalities, is how these different modalities, and I know you have more people that you work with, but are all kind of entry points to a, I might have some of these old words of like a new way of thinking or a new way of healing, a lifestyle. And
definitely.
And the good thing is it doesn't have any downsides, at least how I see it. It's all part of, like, a lot of this is all part of our lives already, but we just don't know that there's a spiritual side to it. And so that's what I hope that we can get out of this. But we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Join me, Chris R., for People Talk, a live call-in talk show that gives listeners a chance to share their thoughts, ideas, community issues, and more. Each week, we'll have a topic of discussion to stimulate a conversation among the masses in the greater Spokane area. You'll have to tune in each week to find out. You talk, we talk, People Talk. Mondays at 8 p.m. on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio.
Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. for Solidarity Spokane, the Inland Northwest's local labor hour, hosted by Cat Sabotage, elevating the voices of everyday workers and worker organizations, fighting for your rights in the workplace and fostering community solidarity. Join us here to reclaim control over your own destiny by reclaiming the conditions and products of your labor. That's Mondays at 4 p.m. here on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio. An injury to one is an injury to all.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for August 1st through the 6th. Thursday, Current Flow at Arborcrest, Michael Milham, Paul Grove, Abe Kinney, and John Paul Shields at Brick West, and I Declare War at the Big Dipper. Friday, Sunfish at the Chameleon, La Cha-Cha, Big Raffle, and Roman Arc at the Big Dipper, and All-Star Opera, Sus, and Kung Fu Vinyl at the Chameleon. Saturday, Man With No Name at Give It A Shot Espresso, La Cha-Cha and Quarter Monkey at the Brick West Plaza, and Mother Lover at Jackson Street. Sunday, Soulful Brothers at Arborcrest, Lilac at the Chameleon, and the Hot Club of Spokane at Hamilton Studio. Monday, open mic with Ya Boy Beto and Ben 10 at the Red Room, jam session at the Off Regal Lounge, and open mic at Live Entertainment. Tuesday, Tanya Baldman at Riverfront Eats, Rain of Z at the Chameleon, Carrie Marguerite and the 76 at Rocket Market, and Nick Shoulders and the OK Crawdad at the District. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Join me, Robert Sevilla, for Creative Mindset, Thursdays at 4. In that hour, I'll be talking to locals that have the creative mindset. Tune in to find out more about creative minds around you. And we're back. Okay, so we started the show off late, so we have another break in like 10 minutes. And then after that, it's like another 15, and then we're done. It's going to go by quick this time. And I'd be happy to have you guys back again. I like the recurring guests. Okay, so now we're on to Holly.
Yes, my name is Holly. I am a master esthetician licensed in Idaho and Washington, Reiki master. Passion for people, passion for just loving on individuals. Our story is Amy and I have known each other for 20 plus years.
20 plus years.
How Seven Sisters was founded is we all were so like-minded and had all of these gifts to share. And we thought, how could we make this work? How could we get together and offer a service for people and where we are sharing that common bond and supporting each other and connecting with the divine?
This started 20 years ago?
No,
our friendship.
Our friendship started 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Really powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's how Seven Sisters became what it is today. And we host retreats. Well, we haven't hosted a retreat for about 3 months, but
other special events too, our meditation hikes and empowerment
birthday
circles.
Events. So
I think that's how I came across you. I usually snoop around, find my guests through like Instagram. Mm-hmm. One, I found that might as well go for someone who wants to promote themselves because sometimes you can get a guest on who has a business, but they don't like promoting themselves and it can be a really dry, dry talk.
Right.
And then those just make you want to burn your show. You get
They're
tired
like,
of
I'm out there, but I don't want anybody to find me.
Yeah, which is strange. But
under the radar.
Yeah, it does happen.
Funny.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about what you and I did today.
Okay.
So we were talking, we just started talking just the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect, you just invited me over, said, hey, why don't you just come in and experience? Because you mentioned Chinese.
Oh, mapping. Traditional Chinese medicine mapping. Face mapping.
Mm-hmm. Face mapping. And I never heard of that. And I definitely, not that I like to know every single one of them. I enjoy when I'm surprised, but that one surprised me.
Yeah. So the whole theory is everybody has their own ecosystem, like weather system inside their body. Uh-huh. And all of the organs can correlate to a place on your face. So what I like to do is, I picked up on water and earth for you today. So I moved a lot of kidney lymph system in you is what I, when I worked on you this afternoon. Just kind of feel intuitively into it. And so we're releasing a lot of lymph and kidney.
And what is that? What does it feel? I guess I kind of know what feeling energy is like. It's like a
feel it. Yeah. That's where it's like, you might be like, dry necks. Because I can't quite explain it. It's just a knowing and an energy that comes in.
I'm going to try to explain because I've thought about it. Like, cause I came, like you, we were talking about like, we first started talking about Kundalini. I talked about my friend, Rolina over in, the Coeur d'Alene or the Sandpoint area. And then, but what I didn't tell you is like when I first started, I loved hearing the stories of people, feeling energy. Like, I just thought it was so cool. And it was one of those things, like, there's no downside. Like, just hearing about it, it makes it feels like my head's expanding. Like, like I feel good about hearing the stories. Mm-hmm. It sounds, you know, like out of this world, like above and way beyond, more powerful than me. And that always feels good to me when I'm not like the center. Although I think as an artist or as a self-promoting person, you sometimes you feel like it. I know it all comes back to you. But interesting enough, I had friends who felt it. He was an anesthesiologist, and he could read it like no one else. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. He's like, first let me teach you to ground. And he had me stand in front of him, and he feels my toes. And it's kind of a cool story, but it's too long for this. But what happened is I just believed. I'm like, he feels my energy because mm-hmm. I'm playing with the energy in my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I have a really good imagination.
And the mind goes where the energy flows, right?
Yeah. And so I have such a strong visual. I've been doing this like creative artistic work all my life. And I really can't do anything until I visualize enough of it that I can move forward on it. Mm-hmm. And so I was really able to play with this imagery in my head. And I would move the energy with my thoughts. And he was feeling it at exact same times. Mm-hmm. And the part that convinced mm-hmm. me was, you're familiar with this staccato breathing, mm-hmm. like a little
tap-a-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. We talked about that last night, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, I'm going to give him a little staccato energy. And so without saying
this
anything.
This is like a fun party trick.
Yeah.
Like
it was these two doctors I was hanging out with, and they were talking about energy, and I'm like, I love hanging out with you guys. And I'm like, but all I've said in the last, because they would get into the biology of things. And I'm like, I've only said in the last like 2 hours of you guys talking. Like, and then they're like, no. They're like, you have a lot to offer. Like, just hang out. But anyway, they would let me do different things. And it was fun. We'd do total geek parties, just hang out. And they taught me about manifestation. And,
mm-hmm.
and
these are cool doctors.
Super cool doctors. And so the staccato breathing was the final thing where I'm like, this guy feels it. Even though I can't feel it, he feels it. I welled up this energy just like a qigong. Like I held it. And then I let it out like a
drum bead,
or a machine gun, like a pop, 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 pop. And he was like, whoa, that was interesting. And I'm like, I'm a believer, man. You don't have to convince me anymore. Yeah. I'll feel it when I feel it. But I didn't feel it for like another 8 years.
Oh, wow.
And it all came to me when I did a plant medicine ceremony. And this lady told me, she's like, I've given you something. And she was Russian. And she said to help you meditate. And then as she's talking, it just came. And I'm like, well, what is this? What are you showing me here? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how are you moving it? Why does it look and feel like this? And then mm-hmm. she's like, that's my energy.
What
and
a
then,
gift.
Yeah. And then that's why I told her later. I'm mm-hmm. like, you like, gifted me like mm-hmm. energy reading. And it was a trip because I went there for, you were talking about, Amy, about the belief system and things mm-hmm. like that. It all kind of came quick to me because I went like my mother died mm-hmm. full like textbook minus the fast car midlife crisis where I just everything went out. And I'm like, you know what? Since all of this stuff's out of the closet and out on the floor, nothing's getting back in there until I've completely see if it still fits who I am today. Oh, and then so I went into this like slow process of just mm-hmm. evaluating. And then every time I'd find myself to say no, I would like stop. And I'm like, well, this is where you're learning. This is mm-hmm. where the work begins. And then I would sit and listen to any and everybody. But it was funny, after I felt that energy, I came back to try to learn and I couldn't find anybody. Mm. But I found like one Reiki person and they wouldn't talk to me. They were like, literally like arms crossed, like they didn't want to show me. And then I go, this is what I feel. So I started drawing and communicating through this
spiral.
And then mm-hmm. I was doing spirals in the first place I found it were right here on these points. And so I started doing these spiral and I go, and it felt like a spiral thing.
Like
and
a chakra or a meridian.
That's a sign mm-hmm. of a Reiki sign actually that we use in Reiki.
Well, that was the funny thing. Uh-huh. So then I couldn't get her attention at all until I started drawing and she goes, where did you learn these symbols? Where did you learn this this image? And I
it's
go,
like an initiation.
I just felt it. I go, this is what I felt. And then that was like the only thing that she really gave me. She just looked like, and I can get it now later after I've known things because there are some people that do different things with their energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And some people can move and shift energy, and some people can shift it in the bad, wrong way. And I think that kind of hops over to Michelle's like house clearing.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes you can be sitting in a house, and then this is where people might look at me. And I came back, I used to work with, or I still do, with steel and around a bunch of contractors, and they would love to hear like crazy Robert talk about like, you know,
Lulu,
the different,
Robert.
I'm like, I have the good stories, guys. And I'd tell them all about hugging a waterfall.
Well, talk about the conversation of normalizing energy talk. I mean, everybody has a sense when you walk in a room, I shouldn't say everybody, but the majority, when you walk in a room, you feel like, or you're around a certain person, this feels good, this feels bad, this gives me the creeps, I don't feel safe here, whatever it is. And if we could normalize the conversation to where people listen to that, like for the young ones, you know, that it's not just a weird feeling or maybe a passing thought, but if you tune into it, what you are feeling and experiencing are the changes in and the different kinds of energy. Yeah.
And it is a lost art. I mean, I think we're just all relearning that.
Right. And everything carries it. That's plants. Yep. Flowers.
When you say lost art, when do you think you lose it?
For me personally, I feel like I was like grade school, because we talked about this before, we had like visitors and things like that, and you kind of just shut it down because it
makes you sound crazy.
It freaks out a little bit and makes you sound crazy.
For sure.
And then
my parents would be like, what are you talking about?
Well, and you talk to a lot of people that have innate gifts like that recognize them or have remembrance of them when they're little, and the time when they shut it down, it's just like, I remember when my older daughter, who's 20 now, she used to sign her name with a heart at the end, because they're a little preschool teacher, and my other daughter as well, my 10-year-old, but there was a heart that she put at the end of her name, and I remember when she stopped signing her name with the heart. She was in grade school, and I was like, why did you stop the heart? Well, because mom, it's weird. Like nobody signs their name with a heart. So it's stuff like that. It's like suddenly you're out there and you're nervous about how am I going to be judged? You know, are they going to think I'm weird? So it's not just with your gifts of energy or your medium gifts or healing gifts or whatnot. It's anything that makes you look or seem different, which to me is why I'm so passionate about normalizing the conversation, because I've got kids. We've got kids. And these young children that are like, let's normalize. Mm-hmm. It's not weird. It's
absolutely. That's great.
It's a natural thing.
It is.
Let's do our last break, and then we can just rock on. This will be a quick one.
Okay.
Listen to the Latin Lounge every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on KYRS-FM, Medical Lake, Spokane. Heard on 88.1, also heard on 92.3.
KYRS listeners pay attention to quality. They look for quality in their work and in their daily lives. If your business cares about quality customers, look to KYRS. Call 509-624-7573 for more information.
And we're back. That was super quick. This is Creative Mindset with Robert Sevilla. In studio, we have the Seven Sisters from Coeur d'Alene. What did you say? It's 610 Lakeside?
Lakeview,
601
East Lakeside.
Yep. East. Okay, great.
601 East Lakeside.
In case we forget, just bring that up in case, because I love these talks that we're going into. So before the break, we were talking about, Amy, you brought up normalizing the language, and maybe just talking about maybe the idea of normalizing is just finding those points that actually fit in everyone else's life. So we have these words for them, but other people might have a problem with the words. And I brought up, I had a problem, big problem with the word healer. I didn't like the word healer. People, like when I read, felt the energy. And I felt energy, and I could feel the texture and kind of would see color, and I would feel like a, it would feel like a, like foam, like, you know, that Oasis foam that you put flowers into.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When it's dry. Yeah. Like, I would feel a lot of that. Sometimes I would feel like wood, a wood mm-hmm. texture, mm-hmm. like which was very fibrous with the direction. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would feel feel and see like metal. Mm-hmm. And different, I don't know, a bunch of different textures. Actually, I just zoned out on what my point was on this. Where was I going with that? Oh, a healer. Mm-hmm. So then they called me a healer, and I'm like, oh, I'm like, first of all, I'm an artist. Like, why would an artist like learn to heal? And I'm like, well, maybe I learned to, I'm supposed to draw. Anyway, it came down, the healer thing came down to my mother. I silently labeled her a healer. And I don't remember people calling her a healer, but I kind of silently labeled her a healer. And she was always special, to every, like a lot of people that are just like, your mom's just a really special person. She's really different. She thinks different. She's, you know, welcoming, all this stuff. But it was, she gave, and didn't always get back. And then me viewing that, I was a little protective. And so I thought that she gave a little too much. So I thought, in my view, that she was a healer that just got took an advantage of. And that
you
healers
were going to lose yourself.
And that healers too, were people mm-hmm. that just put everything out there that people just took from. Mm-hmm. Which I think is still possible.
Right.
But one day, I thought about it, and this is like a typical test that I do, and I think just people could try this out, is that I just changed the word. And I was in this like workshop, and they were asking to heal someone. And I'm like, well, here's that word again. And I thought, well, maybe I'm just going to swap this word out. What would be an appropriate word would be friend. Could you heal this person? So I swapped it out. Could you be a friend to this person? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, hell yeah. Like, that's an easy one. Like, I can be a friend. And so when I call someone a friend, I'd like to express however that care would be, like mm-hmm. in like a love. Like, I love mm-hmm. this person. Can I love that person?
Yeah.
Like,
no problem. Just love on you.
Holly uses the language, which I love. She talks about love bombing mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. Like, just, you know, and she's got her own, obviously, method for what she's doing and how she's working with the energy, but she calls it love bombing. Mm-hmm. Like, I just love bomb, mm-hmm. and I love that because it's like you're pulling it down and just mm-hmm. love bombing someone.
And you really can use any word for it. You know,
right. It's yeah, as long as you can switch it out. So I guess my technique to the whole thing was just, if you think you have a problem or if something kind of makes you back off, is it, try to be sensitive to, is it a word mm-hmm. and something that you're tying it to, and then swap that word out to something that you're okay with and then see how it fits. Mm-hmm. And maybe it still doesn't fit, but mm-hmm. I think it's a good
practice.
Yeah. A good try. Mm-hmm. That's how I was able to find myself. Cause I found myself, we were talking about the, masculine feminine sides mm-hmm. and that, I think some of that masculine traits I was taught, that was, you know, like a bad idea. But then again, I've had such a different upbringing that I was an artist. I was part of a hair salon where, you know, gay lifestyle for me was taught from the very beginning. Like mm-hmm. it was just part of life. You know, there was a guy in the salon, we called him the Candy Man because he always had candy. And I mean, he would, yeah. and this was back like in the late 70s, and he'd have the crazy tight pants on and the shirt like pulled down. It was like unbuttoned all the way to his almost belly button, big hairy chest. And I mean, he would look like he was a character.
Yeah, that's beautiful. For sure.
That you could still see nowadays. I'm pretty sure that fashion's still in.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're all beautifully made the way we are. You know,
but so yeah, I mean, I say all that, but I'd love to hear more kind of cool examples. We were talking about mm-hmm. just Amy, you brought up feeling a bad vibe in a room or a dangerous vibe, mm-hmm. and people do feel that in houses,
they do,
and sometimes, and I'm just gonna throw it out there. Why would someone feel it in a house? Probably because you're comfortable, all your defenses are down, and you're open, you're mm-hmm. relaxed. And then all of a sudden you feel a knock.
Yeah.
Or you feel something rush through the room, or
and
you
you're
could
like
hear
taken
some...
back a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're so open.
I've had some really cool experiences with that. Before I moved to Coeur d'Alene, I did some clearings and home clearings for people.
Just, you know, we got like 6 minutes.
Okay. I'll be quick. And then it started to go to the real estate community. And so I had a few real estate agents that if they couldn't sell their home, they'd bring me in and I'd do a smudging and clear the house. And that just requires me to do a little bit of meditation the night before to find out what's really going on inside the house, because it can be residual energy from maybe the person that just moved out, or mm-hmm. it could be a spirit. It could be some type of an entity. And so I would do that. And then I would go into the house and clear the energy. And so several times after doing that, the house would sell the next day and it would be really cool, or the next week. And then they'd bring me back in to do it again. It's just really important. Even when you're not selling your house, you're in your space, you have people coming over in and out of your house. They may be really great people, but you don't know where they've been or what energy they're coming in with. And so I always tell people, if you have a bunch of people over, it doesn't hurt to clear the house, clear the space again, mm-hmm. you know, take it back, take your energy back for that home. And you can clear it in so many ways. And so I would do that. And one of the cool stories that's really quick is a gal called me and said, I can't sell my house. I did a meditation. I clearly saw the spirit that was controlling that house. It was not good. I went in, did the clearing, talked to her about that spirit and what had happened. And sure mm-hmm. enough, she said yes. And she confirmed what had happened in the home. And I said, don't be afraid. They can't get back in because I've cleared the energy and I've salted and I've done everything that we need to do to make it whole again. Well, that night, I just can't believe it, she called me and the next morning, and she goes, there were tapping outside my windows, like tap, 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 tap. And she goes, and I was freaking out, but then I kept remembering, Michelle said it's clear, they can't get back in. And she goes, and then that day, that morning, that Saturday morning, she had an open house. And her house had been on the market for about 8 or 9 months, and she couldn't figure out. And it was a really cute little home. Uh-huh. But people were sensing that uncomfortableness in that house, and it sold.
Like in the pictures, but they didn't like the vibe when they
exactly.
came in.
Yeah, so it sold. And then I've done clearings for people that just can't sleep at night, and there's things going on, and I'm able to identify what that is and then clear that up, and then it's fine. So, yeah, so it's cool. It's really interesting how people can really feel it, even though you don't believe in it. You can feel energy. People can feel it. If you feel someone coming up behind you, you can feel a sense of another human or a something.
Yeah.
Right? That's energy.
Or even sitting at like a, mm-hmm. a stoplight, and you're sitting mm-hmm. there and you feel eyes on you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can look and somebody's mm-hmm. completely staring. I mean, mm-hmm. you're feeling
that the
exchange.
Energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, man, I have something I want to share, but I'm definitely not going to be able to do it now. But I found this guy on YouTube. He's a scientist that works with plasma, and he hooked up, and I'm putting it together right now, and we'll test it out. We'll do get our weird on. But it's it's an electrostatic generator, and he said, look at what this does. He puts his hand, he grounds himself on one side, puts the other lead into this water with dry ice, like mm-hmm. condensation floating on it. And with his finger, he goes, look what I could do. And he started tracing in the mist. He's like, that's pretty weird, because sometimes it's wider, sometimes it's thinner. And he goes, but here's the real weird thing. But this guy's not an energy guy. He's like a science guy. Mm-hmm. And he goes, look at this. And this is when I was like, take my money. He goes, look what it does when I put my palm down and it started to swirl. And he goes, look at these swirling patterns. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I couldn't find anything, any other. And he goes, so I'm going to give it a name. I can't remember what the name he gave it. But I went and I bought this like electrostatic generator from New Zealand. And I'm putting it together. You got to like put it together. Like,
well, it'll work.
Piece.
So cool.
I mean,
it will.
I can't wait
we're
to see that.
Energy. Yeah.
I mean, that's because of what I see beautiful. Feel. Yeah. Like what we were talking about.
All those
about.
Spirals. Mm-hmm. There's so mm-hmm. many spirals.
And now I can just show it to the non-believers.
Yes.
So I want to get back. I forgot. I got right off of that treatment that you gifted me, mm-hmm. and what it reminded me of how I've been holding stuff. And what is that? I don't know. I've kind of just keeping things in. And when I laid on that table, and I felt your touch, and I talked a little bit before, I'm like, well, for me, it's about getting comfortable and mm-hmm. feeling just comfortable, mm-hmm. comfortable with a new person, comfortable with like energy goes both ways.
Absolutely.
And safe. Yeah, a safe. That's exactly it. And so when I laid on that and then felt a lot like, you know, that it'd bring me back to memories of like my mom's, being around my mom's shop, getting facials, giving facials.
I told you, you had female energy, maternal female energy all around you. It was pretty powerful. Yeah. I mean, so that's essentially what I'm doing is when I'm laying my hand on you, I am connecting to the divine and kind of helping you clear out things that just don't belong in those meridian chakra areas and just love bombing you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I definitely felt it. And the cool thing was, it's a twofer because when I went to the bathroom just before the show, which I have to make sure I don't, the last thing you want to do is have to go to the bathroom during the show. My face looks great. Like, I'm like, gosh, I think I needed some.
You're glowing.
Moisture. Whatever she put on me, I needed it.
Well, it's funny that you say that because when we were in the car, I'm like, when I met him, his energy was so good and his face was just glowing.
It helps that he's pretty cute.
Yeah, he's pretty cute. He's pretty cute.
Thank you. Well, look at that. We've just run out of time.
Wow.
So sometimes I pack in multiple people because I think that it might not fill up an hour, but we could probably fill up an hour.
Oh, easy.
Individuals.
Yeah.
Each one of you.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what we can plan out. We can schedule something.
Yeah.
Right after
love
that. So before we end this, can you just give out different ways of anything coming up? Way of getting a hold of you, finding you in social media.
Yeah. So, we've got, Seven Sisters Retreats, .com is our website. And then I've got AlignYogaCDA.com is my website. Michelle, do you have a website?
Mine is actually just finishing up right now, but you can find me on Instagram, at Aesthetics by Michelle Hoffman.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And Holly's on Instagram. I'm on Instagram. But August 4th, we have a sound bath. I have a sound bath. We've got a meditation hike on the 8th. September 5th, another meditation hike. September 12th, 13th, and 14th, we have a paint night, which is going to be really fun, a creative paint night with an artist friend of ours who's coming in. Mm-hmm. And then the first Sunday of every month, I have a sound bath. And then we're constantly planning retreats and new events. So Seven Sisters, Instagram, Align Yoga, Instagram, Facebook, Michelle.
Aesthetics by Michelle.
Aesthetics by Michelle. And we're constantly posting the updates. So, yeah.
All right. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming in. And sorry that you got lost.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
That was okay.
You know, coming sometimes in hot, you know, just that's why we know breathing techniques and how to ground. You get
lost. Well, good. We'll book you guys out if you guys can look at your calendars after this.
Absolutely.
And then also I'll include some links to everything you guys said on the show notes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Defense in accordance with international law to respond decisively to this terrorist and criminal act when it deems necessary and appropriate.
Iran's threatening to retaliate against Israel after Hamas's top political leader Ismail Haniyeh was assassinated during a trip to Tehran for the inauguration of Iran's president. We'll get the latest as Israel confirms it's also assassinated Hamas's military chief Mohammed Deif, who was targeted in an Israeli airstrike July 13th. Then we go to Israel to look at a shocking story. A group of far-right Israeli protesters, soldiers, and lawmakers stormed two Israeli military bases Monday to protest the arrest of Israeli soldiers suspected of raping a Palestinian prisoner. Then to Chicago. Donald Trump questions Kamala Harris's racial identity during a heated interview with three female journalists at the National Association of Black Journalists.
I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
And then to money war, a new Washington Post expose on how four U.S. presidents unleashed economic warfare across the globe from Cuba to Iran to Venezuela. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel says it's confirmed Hamas's top military commander, Mohammed Deif, was killed in Israeli airstrike in southern Gaza on July 13th that killed some 100 people. Hamas has not responded to the claim.